August 1st meeting to order. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Treese?
Here.
Mr. Ruffin?
Here.
Mr. Trapp?
Here.
Mr. Scala?
Here.
Mr. Thomas? Ms. Nauzer?
Here.
Ms. Peters?
Here.
Quorum being present, I'd like to call the August 1st meeting to order. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes from the previous meeting? Anybody have any additions, subtractions, deletions, omissions, amendments to the amendments as distributed?
I move for approval.
Mr. Scala has moved for the approval of the minutes as distributed. Okay. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Nauzer. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Approval and adjustment of the agenda, including the consent agenda. Has everybody had an opportunity to look at tonight's agenda? And does anybody have any items they would like to see addressed?
I do need to abstain from items 105-16 and 106-16 from the consent agenda due to a conflict of interest.
Is there a motion to allow Ms. Nauzer to abstain from 105-16 and 106-16 from the consent agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Trapp, seconded by Mr. Scala. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those of the contrary opinion? Ayes have it. Thank you. Mr. Ruffin?
I would also like to abstain from B181-16 due to a conflict of interest.
181-16. Is there a motion to? I'll make a motion to ask Mr. Ruffin to abstain from B181-16. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Scala. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? Ayes appear to have it. Thank you. Any other adjustments to the agenda? Seeing none, our first order of business.
And we go ahead.
I'll move the agenda with those adjustments.
Gentleman's made a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Without objection, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The agenda is approved. We do not have any special items, and I will remind people that we do have several opportunities to serve on city boards and commissions, and the deadline to apply for that expires on August 5th. And I would encourage everyone that would like to participate in your city government to take a look at the vacancies that we have and participate. There are also several opportunities to address city council if you notify the city clerk by Wednesday preceding a meeting, and we have one such scheduled public comment. Is Laura Mitchell available? Welcome. Please come forward. Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Laura Mitchell. My address is 1103. Bay Drive, Columbia. So I've never been involved in politics, if you don't count voting, until the last year. I'm not a very brave person, but I always thought I was a good person. I grew up in a Christian home. I believed I should help others. I worked for 25 years at a nonprofit clinic for the uninsured in another state. Our goal was to treat every person that walked through our door with respect, regardless of income, race, sexual preference, or national origin. Of course, I knew about racism, but I thought how I treated people could counter it, and that was enough. Came to Columbia in 2014 for a job at MU. Part of that job was listening to students talk about some of the worst stresses in their lives, things that were making it hard to succeed or hard to stay in school. There were all kinds of things, family problems, finances, substance abuse. I did what I could to point people in the right direction. Then one day, an African-American student said to me, "I wish I'd never come to MU. I hate it here. I'm just trying to get my degree and get out." Surprised. I'd always been told college are the best years of your life. Sort of true for me. It was very true for a lot of people I knew, but it was not true for her. Wasn't the only one. Almost every African-American student I talked to, and especially people who came from other cities, were completely caught by surprise. They told me they talked about being stared through like they weren't there on campus and around town. Being the only student of color in their classes, having people shout the N-word or other things at them from the anonymity of moving vehicles. One student was laughed at and called ghetto by two tellers at her bank branch. I started hearing those things about a year before the student protests began. So I already had that context, and I was feeling supportive. You know, at the very least, it seemed like a really bad customer service model. One day I stopped by the encampment. I talked with an amazingly well-spoken young woman about what was going on. After we talked for a while, I asked her what I could do to help. She looked me in the eye and she said, "You could talk to white people about racism." I said, "Ooh." I'd been thinking more about bringing cocoa. I said, "But that's so uncomfortable." And she said, "Yes, and some people have to deal with it all the time." So it was pretty awkward at first, but I believed what she said. I started talking to people I knew. One thing I heard a lot was, "I'm sure they have a point, but do they have to be so confrontational, so loud, so angry about it? Did they have to stop traffic?" People wanted inspiring speeches from Martin Luther King, not angry, disruptive students. Somehow we have to find a way to listen to the message, even when we don't like the delivery. We haven't walked in those shoes, we can't judge. I started coming to Race Matters Friends a few months later. I started looking at the bigger picture. It can be overwhelming, the history of slavery, mass incarcerations, shootings that have happened by police for almost no provocation, voting rights abuses, inequality in education. It would be easier to look away. This group, which is mostly white, is looking at difficult facts and is speaking up. I hear some people find it odd, but there are good reasons. For one thing, African Americans have been fighting this battle for over 50 years. In spite of huge sacrifices, a lot of changes since the Civil Rights Movement of the 60s have been kind of superficial. Another thing, words of black and white citizens seem to be heard very differently. Comments from blacks can be dismissed as angry, impatient, or wanting special treatment. It's very weird to me that people can sometimes hear it better from us, and we're so far removed from the problem. You know, it's not our experience. But the most serious reason is that not talking about racism makes me complicit. I have to say that growing up, I absorbed the idea that black men were kind of dangerous. Dangerous to white women, to property, to each other. Now, I know that that bias made it easy to look the other way when I knew that police were acting more aggressively towards black men on the street. Now I ask myself, who's more dangerous to who? And will I let someone imply that my life is more important and whatever is necessary to protect my safety and my property, no matter what the cost? It's important to say it out loud. No, that's not okay. No black person can wake up in the morning and say to themselves, "I don't think this day I'll take on the struggle of racism. I'm tired, or there's something else important I need to take care of." Something can happen anyway to that person or family member. For me, I have a choice. I can put on the shirt, or I can take it off and blend in. I've made a choice to say something. After I told her I was involved in this group, a coworker who's black told me about raising her three sons in Colombia. Each son, almost as soon as he started driving, had been stopped and questioned by police officers. Her youngest son, even though she warned him not to, bought a Cadillac. Sometimes he drove that car wearing a hoodie. He was stopped over and over, but he was never charged with anything. I don't know if he was asked to consent to a search. He was followed by mall police when he went to the mall. He stopped going really anywhere except work and home. He finally moved out of state, and it's been better for him there. She doesn't usually talk about it at work, where we're almost all white. I'm not sure she thinks people would believe her. Tonight, I'm asking white citizens of our city not to look away from the fact that life in our city is very different for us than it is for others, just because of the color of our skin. I want to keep the questions about profiling and traffic stops in the public eye, although it certainly is already, and I know that. There are so many things that are wrong in this country, but it seems like looking at this is a great place for us to start, and a place that other cities are starting as well. It's not just a quality of life issue, although it certainly is that. But traffic stops often lead to tickets, which lead to fines, which can lead to warrants if unpaid, which can lead to jail time, which starts to erode any chance for a better future for an individual. We can be grateful for whatever information we have about its disparities and ask how we can learn more. We want our officers to get good training and to be able to speak up about the challenges they face in doing their jobs. We encourage city government to find funds to increase the number of officers, and from everything we know, we hope for the adoption of community policing in the not-too-distant future. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. First order of business will be public hearings. Madam Clerk, would you take the next two issues in tandem, public hearing 26-16 and B180-16?
Public hearing 26-16 is the construction of the Blackfield Improvement Project at Thomas E. Atkins Jr. Memorial Park. Council Bill 180-16 is an ordinance determining it is in the public interest to construct the Blackfield Improvement Project at Thomas E. Atkins Jr. Memorial Park, approving and adopting plans and specifications, determining that a portion of the work shall be done by contract, calling for bids through the purchasing division for a portion of the project, providing for payment for the improvement, appropriating funds, authorizing a facility usage agreement with Columbia College, authorizing the city manager to obtain, execute, and record all documents necessary for the improvement, providing for compliance with the prevailing wage law and state-mandated construction safety training, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Mr. Griggs, would you like to present a staff report?
Thank you, Mayor. The Parks and Recreation Department requests an ordinance to authorize the city manager in an agreement with Columbia College for use of a softball field and the baseball field at Atkins Park for their home games for the Cougar softball and baseball teams. As part of this agreement, Columbia College agrees to pay $150,000 toward improvement of the black field at Atkins Park. Key points of the agreement include that Columbia College gets to use the fields for practices and games. The city continues to schedule games when not used by Columbia College. Columbia College will pay the normal fee, which at this time is $75 for payment for every game played. They'll allow to market logos and materials within the field of each field only. We still provide the concessions, and they may sell Cougar merchandise like sweatshirts and T-shirts during their games. If you look at this, the Atkins Field is a five-field complex. We started off with two fields, the black and the gold field. Since then, we added the blue field, and we have two more fields that are going to be added here shortly. Some key points of this agreement include that Columbia College will convert the infield to an engineered soil, similar to what you see on professional infields, add some tarps for the home plate, mound, et cetera, renovate the dugouts, purchase fence slats on the outfield fence so they can sell for advertisements on those. Have some storage shed construction and add some backstop and expand the bullpen areas. Following the public hearing, staff requests council approval of the ordinance that authorizes the project and authorizes the city manager to sign the agreement. Available to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Griggs?
Can I just ask where this is located?
Atkins Park is up north of, right north of the fairgrounds. It's adjacent to the Boone County Fairgrounds site.
Okay, thank you.
It's Third Ward.
I doubt it.
Mr. Scott would say that would be the beautiful Third Ward.
I'll make a comment in just a little while.
Mr. Scott, yeah. Did you have a question?
No, I don't have a question.
I just have a question. Can you back up one screen in terms of one more? This one. What would you say would be the number of days Columbia College would have those fields in use for their practice or games?
When they practice, will probably be daily throughout most of their season, which will be they play a fall. They'll play a fall practice season, and they play a spring regular season with the other colleges. The practices will be daily, and they'll be done by 5 o'clock so that we can continue to use it for our games. Their number of games is less than 12 home games a year, so we're not talking a whole lot. And by adding, we're in the process of adding two fields, so that'll make up the loss of that field for those games.
Got it. And so you would, and the ratio of that shared use would still be pretty low impact in terms of the city's ability to have that available for other.
Significantly, yes.
Very good. Any other questions? Is there anyone from the public that would desire to provide input? I'll open the public hearing. Anyone? Anyone from Columbia College here? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Any discussion by council?
Just a comment. Scotland. Just a comment, Mr. Mayor. I'll be tempted to use your phrase, the beautiful third ward here. If you haven't visited the Atkins Ball Field Complex, I would encourage you to do so. It's a tremendous asset. And frankly, what's good for the third ward is also good for the community. And in this case, there's a partnership with Columbia College, so it can't get any better than that. So I enthusiastically support it.
Columbia College is, of course, in the beautiful first ward.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. We share that. It's the community-wide aspect that I'm trying to emphasize.
And Cosmo Park's in the second, where Aunt Timmy is. So.
That's the beautiful second ward.
Yeah. Left out.
Seeing no further discussion, I would make a motion to approve B-180-16, authorizing construction of the Blackfield Improvement Project at Thomas E. Atkins Memorial Park, calling for bids with the Purchasing Division, authorizing a facility use agreement with Columbia College, and appropriating funds thereto. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Scala. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Council Bill 180-16, Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Ms. Nauzer?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
By your vote of 6-0, you have approved the B-180-16. Next order of business will be old business. We have a repeat of B-138-16. Mr. Teddy, welcome back.
Thank you. Good evening. This item returns from the July 18 council agenda. This is a request to vacate a sewer easement, as in wastewater sewer easement. For property that does not have an address, but it's located just east of 1841 Cliff Drive. It's on the south side of Cliff, illustrated here. The owner does request vacation of a quite old easement that was put in place for the purpose of containing a sewer line. It was done in the 1940s. Action tonight would eliminate that easement. I did report last time that there had been a recent sewer project on Cliff Drive. Probably didn't make clear that was a PCCE project or a private common collector elimination project. These lines that are described as the sewer within the easement, the as-built plans from that PCCE project do indicate that those have been abandoned. They've been filled, and I know that was one public comment or one public question that came up initially with this is what became of the lines themselves. They've been plugged, and they've been filled with sand or slurry according to the plan notes. The easement doesn't have a dimension on it. It just indicates that it follows the sewer. So by that, I mean there's no defined width, which is how we would typically plat easements today. So vacating this removes a potential encroachment issue for the applicant. The applicant is here this evening, and he'll be prepared to answer questions you might have about intentions for use of the property or other questions.
Any questions of staff at this point?
I don't really have any questions. I did talk to Mr. Koenig about delaying this another 2 weeks because some of the neighbors who are not able to be here tonight wanted to speak at the next meeting. But I don't know, and Sheila, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask you, or maybe Mayor Treese, you know when's the appropriate time for that. And since Mr. Koenig's here to speak, I don't.
Anytime. Absolutely, yeah. And I know Mr. Koenig hasn't been here at the previous meeting where there was discussed, so I'll open the hearing on B-138-16 and ask if anyone from the public would like to discuss this issue. Is Mr. Koenig here? Anything you'd like to add, sir?
Well, I think the concern from the neighbors was just what your plans are for the property, because that's a fairly steep, as we have walked it, it's flat, but it's not flat for very long, and then it really is massively steep. Yeah. So the question was, what are you going to be able to do with that?
Well, I don't have any immediate plans for it. I just wanted to have it unencumbered by that easement, and the neighbor I talked to sent a letter to Mr. Teddy regarding having that vacated as well and their desire to have it done.
Oh, good.
And so that was the Yowns.
Okay.
And so I just, at this point, I think I'm going to, you know, I just wanted to get this point, this part of it done and not have that held over the property since it's not used anymore.
Okay.
As far as plans to build, you and I talked about it. It was just speculation. You know how all those lots are around Cliff there. They're built on the side of a hill. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it would be much different, you know, than those other houses.
So would it be a problem for you to go ahead and delay this for 2 weeks so that those other folks that have a problem?
I'm going to be on vacation this 2 weeks. My problem, and I'm really, I wonder why they haven't commented yet, or I haven't heard anything, because I've talked to all the neighbors over there, and they're pretty amenable to me, you mm-hmm. know. I've lived over there for 25 years, as you know.
Yeah, I had two different people ask if we could delay it for another 2 weeks, but if you're going to be out of town, then that's a problem, too.
Yeah, and it's been, this is the third reading, I believe. I don't understand what questions they have that would be relative to this vacation of the sewer, I guess. If they're going to ask, you know, how can you build on that? You know, mm-hmm. I think that's probably, you know, left best to the engineers and geotechs and like that.
I think it was that and the platting of the whole thing, but I didn't get into it. They just asked me.
Just a question. I mean, I think as I gather this, I don't see a huge problem here. It's really kind of a courtesy thing in terms of.
I thought it would be a formality, sir.
Well, it may in fact be that. I mean, it's if it were the other way around, I think, and we would try to accommodate people if they couldn't make it. I mean, you were going on vacation, obviously, that complicates that. I mean, you could make the motion and have it after you return so everybody could show up. But I, like I said, I don't anticipate a problem, but it's just kind of a courtesy thing. But if that's an onerous burden for you, that's another consideration that we'd have to think about.
Ms. Nazar.
I have a question for the applicant, but I have just a question because, so is this property already zoned? Is it R1?
This part of East Campus is R1, yes.
So, I mean, it's already, you can only build within the scope of R1, mm-hmm. so he can't put anything there that would be detrimental to the neighborhood, and everybody already has a sewer, a new sewer, correct? When we went in and did the, took out that common collector.
Yeah, there were private laterals extended right. to the existing houses. There are 8 properties involved in that project. All of them had a house on them, so I don't think any private lateral was extended to this particular lot, but that sewer could be tapped by the owner construction.
And I think last meeting we said that we wanted to have verification that the other neighbor whose property this easement went across was in agreement to have that vacated, and we've got that, right?
That's correct, yeah. Owner of the adjacent property is aware of the easement, has no objection to it being.
So I ask these questions because I'm wondering why the other people would be concerned because he can't build anything other than the same that is there now. And so I don't know why we would have to hold this gentleman up to having that his property unencumbered by this sewer easement that we're not going to use and that nobody else in the neighborhood is going to need when he can build a house just like everybody else in the neighborhood has. Not like he can't come and put in multifamily.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Right. So, I mean, I just don't find a reason to forestall.
How long have you owned that property?
Oh, since January.
And when you purchased it, I mean, was it a lot? Does it have a lot number? I mean, has it been platted?
It has a, you know, the, it's a number that's used by, it's about a 17 digit number that refers
that's
to
a parcel lot. Number it's but is a parcel, it is yes, it sir. Technically a platted lot can you answer that
this is this qualifies as a lot under a provision in our subdivision code that it had a recorded survey prior to the effective date of the ordinance.
And when was that survey conducted and recorded?
1940s, and the cutoff date, if I can call it that, was 1964. Now it has been reduced in size since that since that survey was recorded. There was subsequent platting called the Perkins Additions 1 and 2 that took lots out of it. So the boundaries have been modified. In the very beginning, it was part of Lot 54, a of East Highland. So there's a very old platted lot at the center of this that's been parceled off generally by platting. I cited an example of the east side next door neighbor last time. That's still a combination of very old platted lots on which a house is built. But we took it to the city surveyor. It was the surveyor representing Mr. Koenig that it was a legal lot. He furnished some documentation of the book and page of recording of the original survey, and our city surveyor, who's part of the Public Works Department, took a look at that and gave an opinion that it would qualify under our definition of lot. It has sufficient size, in other words. It's really defined by what's around it, too. If we were to do a subdivision plat, it would be one lot, and it would really have the same boundaries.
So was that subdivision recorded consistent with our subdivision code?
It's not a modern lot description that I'm speaking of. This is more of a grandfathering. The old plats did not have the same conventions for easements and that kind of thing. That's an issue that we look at. This was circulated for comment, so there was no indication on the part of the professional staff that further easements would be needed.
And are there setbacks? What would be the setbacks?
It's 25 feet in R1. There's been some reference made to a 35 foot. We looked in the East Campus. The East Campus doesn't have a supplemental front yard, but there is an overlay that applies. I think there's a roof pitch requirement that would pertain to any type of structure, whether it's single or multi-family, but most of the East Campus overlay content refers to either existing buildings and infill construction or infill modifications of those buildings or multifamily structures. We would probably do some measurements of existing setbacks on the block too, to just see what the average depth is, because that is used as a determination in cases where 40% or more of a block is built out. So haven't done that exercise, but what I'm saying is if you have exceptional depth to existing development, you can require a deeper setback.
And to be clear, you're not asking for any variance of those setbacks, Mr. Koenig? Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Anybody else desire to be heard on B138-16? Dr. Peters, would you like to?
I would make a motion to table this for a month, I believe, since he's going to be out of town and the other folks ought to be back in town.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Scala. Any discussion on the motion to table?
I think this is a relatively straightforward. It's come up three times. I think I would rather deal with it tonight. I plan on voting against the motion to table.
Anybody else? Madam Clerk, you want to call all those in favor of motion to table, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
By your vote of 3-3, you have defeated the lady's motion to table. Any other discussion on Bill 138-16?
If you look at, and I mentioned this in the question phase 2 weeks ago, so I'll try to be brief, but if you look at the conveyance of right-of-way from 1945, it says, for the purposes of maintaining the main public sewer. At the very end, it says, to have and to hold for the purposes above mentioned on the said lands herein conveyed, so long as the same are used for the purposes set forth by this instrument. So we only have the sewer easement for the purposes of sewer. It's been moved, so it's obvious that this should be vacated. It's not allowed to use that to give veto power over whether or not a particular development can occur in an area. I think it should be approved.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, you want to call the roll?
Council Bill 1. We have to amend it per the amendment sheet.
There is an amendment. Any gentleman want to move for the adoption of the amendment sheet?
I'll move the amendment sheet.
Mr. Scullis, move the adoption of the amendment sheet, seconded by Mr. Trapp. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, looks like a conveyance of right-of-way. All those in favor of the amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those to the contrary opinion, no. Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Is there a motion to approve B138-16 as amended?
I'll move.
Motion made by Ms. Nowzer, seconded by Mr. Trapp. Sure. Madam Clerk, call the roll on B-138-16 as amended.
Councilbill 138-16 as amended. Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Ms. Nowzer?
Yes. Yes.
Peters?
No.
Next order of business would be B-187-16. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Council Bill 187-16 is an ordinance amending Chapter 2 of the City Code to establish a transparency policy as it relates to the public availability of data and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Thank you. And I'll just, since I asked for this to be brought forward, I will tell you that this really came about, after the first 90 days in office with a couple hiccups that we had with posting committee hearings, with how we handle requests for sunshine, with a sunshine audit that the Tribune did and found some inconsistencies here. And I really looked at this policy as an extension of Chapter 37 RSMO that really sets the tone for state departments, but it does not affect all political subdivisions. In fact, the language is identical to Chapter 37, and it extends that same expectation of council. I know that our city staff is very busy. They have deadlines to meet, whether that's engineering drawings going out or responding to other requests. And when these requests come in, it's very difficult to know, I got to do this first, but I need to do this as well. And I just want to set a clear expectation that that a request for public records, even if it doesn't include the word sunshine request or chapter 610 or open records request, that it has the same weight, whether it's in writing, on the phone, in person, and that we deal with those as consistently and as quickly and efficiently as possible there. And I think this is a good expression of the council's will that we take transparency seriously and that we want to have a clear bilateral communication with the public that we serve. Any questions or discussion? Mr. Scott?
Just a comment on that. I mean, in terms of, I think this is just, it's significant in that it's an endorsement of how serious we are about transparency policy. And the more redundancy you can have in it and the more you relate to that kind of policy, I think the better our relationship is with our constituents and with the public at large. So I'd be happy to support it.
Very much. Let me open the public hearing on B-187-16. Is there anyone from the public that would like to testify in favor or in opposition? Ms. Wilson-Kleekamp.
There's no way I'm going to be in opposition. Imagine that. Tracy Wilson-Kleekamp, I'm very happy that this has come forward. I was just looking at my friend Laura's book. It says, "The Way to Right Wrongs is to Shine the Light of Truth Upon Them," by Ida B. Wells. And it's not that government's doing anything wrong, but the more open we can build trust. There's a young lady that's been making a records request for a video from the police department, and someone sent me the documentation that she got back that said it's going to cost her $500 for the video, and it would take 6 weeks to get the video back. So I don't think that's very snappy. I think if it doesn't take that long to download a digital file, someone can come in, they can have their own memory stick. So in addition just to being responsive, I think that we have technology, we can move quickly on some of the requests that people want. And without being overly burdensome. I think 6 weeks to get a digital file is too long. And I think it's off-putting to charge someone $500 for a digital record. So I hope that can be absolved. We were planning for a whole bunch of us to make that records request, but I'm making that request now in front of the council. And particularly with police relations, I think when we delay and deny on those kinds of requests, it sends the wrong message. Probably nothing is wrong. Nothing has to be wrong, but just going ahead and giving the information and releasing it, I think, goes a long way to building trust. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Mr. Clark, good evening.
Good evening. My name is John Clark. I live at 403 North 9th Street. And, of course, I love the Sunshine Law and similar things.
So I'm very glad this is here, that you're voting on it. I hope you'll approve it unanimously. And one of the reasons, there are several reasons why I'm in favor of this. It's easy to say transparency. Everybody runs on transparency. The city manager runs on transparency. I mean, all these people, transparency. Well, transparency without qualifiers and rules is meaningless. It's a nice word. It has a nice feeling, but it's meaningless. So it's easy to say, but transparency, for me, the expanded version is, this is transparency, openness, and ease of access. And that means ease of access to information to the council, to the public. This isn't just about public stuff. To the council, to the public, internally to the staff. It's that whole policy, and we're just beginning. So that's the last part of it. This is a policy statement that operationalizes those nice words, transparency, openness, and ease of access. It takes it just beyond some code words and has some very specific things to say specifically to take that out. And it gives the council, and I think the mayor easily said it, assuming the council approves it, it sets the expectations for the staff and gives them enough guidance so they just don't have to guess. They can implement policy because there's enough stuff there for them to interpret. There will still be some disagreements. This is operationalizing a goal of increased transparency and accountability. I hope you approve it unanimously, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clark, and thanks for your leadership on this issue. Anyone else from the public desire to be heard?
Hi, my name is Carol Brown. I really heartily endorse transparency in city government. I'm really offended by the $500 requested from that woman for the video, and would encourage you also to get that to her or make it accessible for her to download that video. You know, it's a reminder to the citizens of Columbia that the government works for us and our taxpayers pay for it. You know, we work hard for our money, and if we need information, we should be able to come and get it and not be delayed or denied or charged exorbitant crazy funds that everybody knows crazy. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
James Gray, 1806 North Charleston. I just want to clear something up. We had a meeting a couple last weekend about the young lady with the video, and I think our city manager, she reached out to him and he reached out to her to see what he needed to do to get that to her. So I think he gets it. I think he's moving forward with that, and I appreciate him speaking with that young lady on that. So thank you a lot, Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Reverend Gray. Anyone else from the public on Chapter 2 to establish transparency policy? Welcome.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you. My name is Barbara Jefferson. I live on Fifth Street here in Columbia. And I just want to say that I agree with the lady that spoke earlier. It'd just be an easier way for the public to feel more comfortable with being able to get access to what's going on. I know I would think it would be really friendly, as I say, you know, so to speak, as far as to know that we don't have a hassle to if we wanted to get some type of public papers.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Seeing, please. Please come to the microphone. We are on BU 187-16 relating to a transparency policy. Welcome.
Yes, my name is Gary D. Holmes. I live at 504 Michael Street. And the transparency law is totally acceptable if the city manager actually does his job. And the reason I say that is every time I call the city office, they're either in a meeting, staff meetings, and everything else. But we need to support our police officers. not the chief, I'm not talking about the chief, our police officers. They work their butts off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They protect us. Now, we have a lot of drug dealings around my blocks. And heroin is a big thing in this town. Whether the city wants to agree with it, deny it, or whatever. I just retired from the DEA as of yesterday.
Congratulations.
And we have a lot of drug problems in this town. It's being brought in from Jefferson City. It's being brought in from Moberly, Fulton, and everything else. But our police officers need protection. They need new vests. They need proper weaponry. And we need, to be perfectly honest with you, we need 60 new officers.
Thank you, Mr. Towns. Very good. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Mr. Elkins, on the transparency policy.
Eugene Elkin, 3406 Rangeline. I would just like to reiterate the conversation that's being put forth here this evening. We are in a relaxed state of conversation, not the heated that I had to sit through at the last meeting. And I appreciate every time people get on the same page. This is very important to making progress go forward, especially as they address the city manager. Please keep your ears open, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any further comment? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on B187-16. Any discussion by council? Ms. Peters.
I just have a question about how we're going to make sure that we, or that the city actually gets the information of the citizens that they're asking for, because some of this, I think if it's electronic mail, facsimile, internet, or postal mail, it's in writing, and so it's a little easier for the city staff to know what it is that people want. I'm a little more concerned about in person or over the telephone and what people ask for, and then do we actually get them? Do we understand what they were asking for, and did we get them the proper information? So it's more just a sort of a clarification. I'm not sure how to make sure that, you know, then someone's going to start saying, well, you know, you guys weren't transparent, and this is what I asked for, and all you have is a phone conversation. So I'm not sure how the city's plan. I mean, are you going to write something down and say, I'll email this and confirm this is what you're asking for? Or how do we make sure we're getting the information that the citizens
ask? Let me kind of field that, and if the city manager wants to respond, because I'll kind of answer it with what you provided 2 weeks ago, that it's really up to the city manager to determine how to best respond to these issues. I can tell you that I think the chief information officer does a very good job of, even over the phone, helping hone that request to really get the information that the caller's asking for in an agnostic way. Because sometimes that can be intimidating. Well, who are you and what are you asking? Why do you want this? And he does it in a way that's, well, let's see if we can't get the information that you need. I know part of that is over here in finance. Some of that is over here in public works. Did you really want that? And to really hone that request in a way. And I think maybe to your point is, how was that documented and then recorded and then conveyed? And I mean, I can tell you the memos that I get of so-and-so requesting this information and having that follow-up. It happens pretty quickly in real time, at least in terms of folks that call the mayor and city council line asking for that information. And I think going back to a discussion we had at the end of a meeting, maybe one or two meetings ago, I think the city could do a better job of using technology to make sure that we have the one, that we're recording the information, that two, that we're publishing the information in a way that is more easily accessible on the website, and particularly if it's information that we know that there's going to be a great public interest in, that information could be more readily available on the website, or at least in an electronic form that helps prevent some of the extra charges that we always see in terms of research and staff time and those types of things. I don't know if city manager wants to comment on that.
It's a great summation of what we do today. There are a great number of laws that constrain what we can release, what we may not release. And so at the end of the day, it is a human process of reading the records and filtering that, and they're different in each service line. That's one reason we have PIOs in those service lines to address the sunshine requests where we know we have a volume of the request. So that process happens today, and we do have a Q&A sort of approach to try to zero in on the most specific question we can query the system with. It's usually an email. There are other documents, of course. So there is a back and forth to try to get exactly what they're looking for to them. And we do that for two reasons. One is, if we narrow the search, it takes a lot less time. It reduces the cost. When, occasionally we'll get a request, I want everything from last year. Well, that's really expensive, and it takes a long time to prepare. So we try to sort through and work with the folks to find out what they really are looking for. I am proud of our openness, our transparency. I think we have had some hiccups, and there's room for improvement. So this is a welcome policy from the staff, and we are looking at those very things the mayor said. So there are software products that are new that are really quite good. So we're already vetting those. Our new community relations director has an excellent proposal that we'll be putting in front of you shortly about how we'll implement this policy. So looking forward to it.
Mr. Scala?
Yeah, just kind of a question as a follow-up. I mean, a lot of this came about kind of as a controversy in response to some press articles and some others about folks being able or not being able to get information in what they saw. And this brings up some of these other issues about the film and so on, or in a timely manner, and the differences between some of the departments in terms of what they charge. Now, I can appreciate some information is more valuable than others, just valuable in terms of the amount of time it takes to get it, not necessarily in the content. And there may be redactions and legal may have to get involved and so on and so forth for some of this. But at least we need to make sure that folks understand what those exceptional circumstances are, and instead of just blaming the system for taking too much time or being too expensive. And I know when you presented the budget, in your view of the budget draft to the public the other day, you were talking about the coordination between departments and even coordination in terms of information gathering and so on. So if you have any comment about that, but I was pleased to hear that, and I think this legislation also serves to address and underscore and support this whole idea of, frankly, what most of us are after here anyway.
One follow-up comment. I think what we've really been missing is a centralized approach. We've got the decentralized down. We have some hiccups when there's, a retirement and then a new employee with training. We work through that. But we've generally got the decentralized approach down pat. It's the centralized piece we've been missing. In the last budget, you approved the Community Relations Department reorganization. That creates an ability for us to do a much better job with this. So we're nearing the end of the implementation phase of that construction, where we really took pieces of the operation from where they were, we put them together, and then organized our approach on sunshine requests. So this is a core function of that new department.
Anybody down here?
I have a comment.
Mr. Trapp.
I can wait till after Ms. Okay, Nelson.
I just had a quick thing to say. Is I think that the biggest important part of this new ordinance is it clarifies the ambiguity, because so many times people will call with a question, and if you don't have the right terminology, then you don't get the right answer. Because, you learn often if you don't ask the right question, you don't get the right answer, even though somebody on the other end knows what you're looking for. So I think this clears that up, and so we'll give staff the direction that people just don't have to call in and say, I would like to make a sunshine request, and you provide that information.
I mean, I can tell you, I've had letters rejected because I didn't say, pursuant to Chapter 610, I'm writing to request for the following information. And it, we shouldn't have, not everyone should know what Chapter 610 is or what the Sunshine Law is or what an open records request is, nor should they have to state that in order to get the information they want.
Yeah. I appreciate the mayor's leadership on this. In general, I'm not always pleased with the quality of the state government, but and when they do something right, then to incorporate that language into our ordinance makes a lot of sense. So this is a great approach. I think it sends an important message. I do, just to clarify, we've talked about police records. They are expensive because they do. There are legal requirements about releasing, and that does require some legal review, and our legal resources have been tight. But I think we might want to, if these come up and there are important issues, that we might want to look at what kind of a process, can we improve the process? Because we know these requests are going to come in, and timely responses are very helpful to convey a sense of safety to the public and, you know, the people involved in these situations very much want that information. So, you know, is it, you know, training a designated person or having a process that could, I think that's something that we want to continue to so I'm pleased with this. I'm pleased at staff's response that they're going to bring back more about implementation. That's how things are supposed to work.
Thank you, Mr. Ruffin, anybody? And Dr. Peters, did you have another?
No. Thanks.
Very good.
They were
anybody else? Seeing nothing further, I would make a motion that we approve B-187-16, amending Chapter 2 of the City Code to establish transparency policy as it relates to public availability data. Seconded by Mr. Scala. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Council Bill 187-16, Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Ms. Snauzer?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Madam Clerk, would you read the consent agenda, please?
Items on the consent agenda include Bills 174-16, 175-16, 176-16, 177-16, 178-16, 179-16, 181-16, 182-16, 183-16, 184-16, 185-16, 186-16, 188-16, 189-16, and Resolutions 101-16, 102-16, 103-16, 104-16, 105-16, and 106-16.
Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Bills 174-16, 175-16, 176-16, 177-16, 178-16, 179-16, 181-16, 182-16, 183-16, 184-16, 185-16, 186-16, 188-16, 189-16, and Resolutions 101-16, 102-16, 103-16, 104-16, 105-16, and 106-16. Mr. Treese?
Yes, on all bills and resolutions.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes, on all bills and resolutions except B-181-16, for which I abstain.
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
You're too quick, right?
Mr. Scala?
I know I'm next.
Yes, on all bills and resolutions.
Ms. Snauzer?
Yes, on all bills and resolutions except Resolution 105-16 and 106-16, which I abstain due to a conflict of interest.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Thank you. Next order of business will be new business. Madam Clerk, would you read R107-16?
Council Bill 107-16 is a resolution amending Resolution Number 114-15A, which established the Mayor's Task Force on Infrastructure to extend the deadline for submitting a final report.
So I'll take this one as well. This was based on the discussion and the request from Planning and Zoning to extend their time period to review the Urban Development Code or the Uniform Development Code. And at the same time, we had a change in the chairman of the Mayor's Infrastructure Task Force, and they would also like for some additional time. Their deadline to come back with their report was August, and I wanted to match the P&Z to bring both that planning and zoning recommendation, the infrastructure recommendation, hopefully their pedestrian and traffic safety task force that Mr. Trapp and Mr. Scala are co-chairing, and some historic preservation protections back all at the same time. incorporate those. This is simply the resolution to extend their time frame to the October 28th meeting so that we have their report at the same time we have the PNZ meeting report. Any discussion?
It's actually the November 7th meeting that you'll get it, but they need to get it to staff by October 28th, right, to get it to you.
Anybody from the public desire to be heard on R107-16?
Second, good evening. John Clark, 403 North 9th Street. Thank you for formally doing this along with the other thing. In particular, with the very constrained period of time, especially after the change in chair, because I attended a number of meetings, they weren't able to actually follow what is normally talked about in court. It's the best evidence rule. So instead of inviting somebody in to make a presentation, they were kind of talking among themselves. They heard excellent things from internally from David Sorrell about sewers and Tom Ratterman. But in particular, there were some people from the county who know a great deal about transportation plans. And all that would not have been possible to invite people in who actually were the people who knew something to present to them so they can come out with the best possible report to you. And this extension will allow them to be able to feel a bit more free to do that when there's actually best evidence available. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Anybody else in the public desire to be heard? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, do you need a roll call on this or just a voice vote?
Roll call.
Would you call the roll, please?
Council Bill 107-16, Mr. Treese?
Aye.
Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
Ms. Nauser?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Madam Clerk, introduction and first reading, please.
All bills are introduced by the mayor unless otherwise indicated. Bills 190-16, 191-16, 192-16, 193-16, 194-16, 195-16, 196-16, 197-16, 198-16, 199-16, 200-16, 201-16, 202-16, 203-16, 204-16, 205-16, 206-16, 207-16, 208-16, and 209-16, first reading.
Thank you very much.
With yourself, David. Me either.
Now that we have an extra 3 hours, I would like to go into the reports section and tell you about Report 62-16. This came out of the New Century Fund. They were advertising for new board members. There's actually some best practices there that are changing the structure of that quasi-independent not-for-profit. And this is simply a report to stop and then reestablish that. So basically, we don't need any more board members because we left some for attrition. Does that make sense? Any additional discussion necessary? Report 63-6.
Yes, interrupt? You may. So you would like me to now start advertising so that, because we are at attrition and we're going to need to advertise for one vacancy.
We will
soon.
Need one more new member to bring the number up to the new figure of 7.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Report 63-16 is a report from the Disabilities Commission about an assessment they did at the Columbia Regional Airport, and not surprising, it is not very friendly to people with disabilities. And I think you can read the report about just the changes that that need to be made there in order. I mean, it's not just, you know, when we approved the Prop 1 on tomorrow's ballot, I think we all thought about the stairs leading up to the airport or to the plane, but there are many areas, including the bathrooms and the ramps and the concrete and et cetera, and I think that report speaks for itself. Anybody want to have any comments or anybody from the Disabilities Commission here? Seeing none, and then we have an interdepartmental transfer of funds. Any comments or explanation on that?
Thank you for including words.
You're welcome.
It'll be of service.
Seeing none, it is now 8:03. Are there any general comments by the public? Oh, please come forward.
11 somewhere.
Still, I'm still going to impose the 3-minute rule.
That sounds fine.
Yes, you would, Mr. Clark.
John Clark, 403 North 9th Street. I did not mention in my earlier comments, which ended a minute early, I anticipate that in implementing various aspects of the transparency policy, I ran a campaign recently, which I said the staff is substantially understaffed. I mean, they don't have enough people, this kind of stuff. I anticipate in doing this that you're going to get some feedback about we can't do this or we can't do that, and I'm hoping what that will come with is we can't do this because we don't have the necessary resources. Here are some ideas about the resources we need, so you can consider them in terms of budgeting, in terms of staffing, in terms of things, as opposed to creating, you know, certain kind of structures that would make it easier and certain kind of restrictions. I'm not interested in creating a huge thing, but I anticipate, frankly, when the council asks for things from staff and what it needs, when in fact we have historically understaffed and under-resourced our departments in many ways, that they may do, and I've not been happy with the results, but if they come back and say, this is a problem and it's this, help us consider about expanding the resources and so forth so we can actually really implement this and implement it well. And I think that's going to be an ongoing thing. Second thing is, one of the we believes of the Daniel Boone Regional Library is to be a place where you can find all kinds of public documents. And so I don't think the city is fighting them. But actually, I think they'd be quite interested in working with the city about how people can find more things and can get help in finding more things. I don't mean just like send a message up there and say, think about it. I'm talking about really aggressively doing it. I used to be on the board there. I think they'd be very, very interested in that, and it could really expand the resources and so forth.
John, that's a great idea. Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Because the reference librarians at the library, I mean, they are trained to go find, and usually they had blue books or municipal budgets there, and they would kind of help look for what they needed. That's a great attitude.
Well, and actually there's also at the university, but we went through a big process about what are the core beliefs. And this idea about being a public reference system, in particular for governmental bodies, I mean, partly even somewhat archiving, it is in their blood. And actually, I've looked for things up there and have not been able to find them. So that's a real big avenue. They have resources and trained people. It's going to take some work to make the connection, but it could really help with this idea of making it more accessible. And they love to help people find things.
Yep. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I'll cut it at 3.
Very good.
Charleston, and I would hope that you will allow me 7 minutes just like you did the first lady, because there's 4 things I want to touch on, and I'm going to be very quickly with that. Number one, we talk black lives matter, all lives matter. I'm African American, grew up here in Columbia, Missouri. Back when I was a kid, the police officers did not have to chase you because they knew your family. They knew that they knock on the door, and you knew what you had coming. Columbia's have grown so much. Yes, we are short officers. I want you to imagine walking in their shoes and all the stress and the hard work that they do. The other night, I was over at the university when a 17-year-old man, young boy, got killed. Black-on-black crime. One of our detective with the unit hugged this mother with a tear in his eyes. We had 4 officers from CPD. And I want you to imagine this young man on the table. and they saying that the mother had to identify him. I wouldn't want no parents to identify that young man in his shape. And then afterwards, what I did 2 days later was I called the officers because I needed for them to do a debriefing because a lot of them never saw that. Now, I want you to imagine going from doing a murder scene to going to a stop or a domestic violence scene. And they got all of that on them. I get it. I get it. I get it. We talk about racial profile. We talk about all of that, and we don't realize that these officers got families also. They I tell a lot of our officers, people not mad at you because they don't know you. I found out that one of my our deputy chief has an African-American brother-in-law down in Joplin, Missouri, where I used to live. Don't know him. Don't judge him. Yes, we need help. One of the solutions and one of the things that I've been thinking about is a lot of times our officers are dealing with mental illness patients. Our college students drive downtown on Wednesday through Friday, and we got 11 officers down there. I get it. South of town where there's a lot of drugs, college housing, I get it. When are we going to start holding the university accountable? We need to go back to the university says we need $3 or $4 million to help patrol your area. I get it. I want to talk about that. We talk about Black Lives Matter, but I got a mother right now that don't have enough money to bury her son. $600 short. All lives matter. Come and walk with me to the university or Boone Hospital Center. They don't see a black kid. They don't see a thug. They work to save lives. I get it. We need to get it. We need to quit pointing fingers at one another and look in the mirror and said, if we're not part of the solutions, we part of the problem. I get it. Yeah, we're going to get more officers. We got to get more officers because guess what? If we don't, they're going to break down. I get it. Number two, I was at a meeting last week. We talking about all this in structure, what's going on, how could we better build Columbia, what could we do to bring African-Americans up. I want to suggest to my mayor, you are in charge of appointing people to the Housing Authority Board. We had that meeting, and you heard all of those complaints about the Housing Authority. So I would love to suggest to you that you need to expand the board and take three people from the housing area and put them on the board. Sometimes a lot of people on these commissions been there long enough, it's time to go. Because if you don't hear from the people, what good does it do? It's time for the city of Columbia. I have a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old. Every night when they go out, I pray, Lord, bring them back home. Because I can't tell you what my kids will do. I'm not with them. But every time I get called to the university, every time when we have a shooting and a kid says, I'm not going to tell because I don't want to be labeled as a snitch. It ain't about being a snitch is about doing what's right. That's what we got to start doing. This whole community got to do what's right. I met a gentleman here in Columbia, very high up. His kid got in trouble. He said, I would never dream of my kid doing what my kid does. But who does? Let's stop looking at colors. Let's just do what's right. And for us to do what's right, 6th Ward, 3rd Ward, 5th Ward, the mayor, 1st Ward, 2nd Ward, our clerk, this is our town. It ain't about 3rd Ward, 6th Ward, 5th Ward.
It's about we doing what we need to do to make our town safe, make our officers less stressful, and let's give back to the community that we may continue to build and strive for what we all set out to do, and that's to do what's right. Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Thank you, James. Anyone else?
It's really nice to have a lot of time for the public to speak early rather than past their bedtime. I have three
different... Just an intermission. We have a whole other council meeting after this.
Eugene Alkin, 3406 Ringside. I had a situation that needs to be brought forward for anyone listening. I was with three homeless people, which you know I often speak on the homeless. And apparently, at the noon news of that day, I hear about something called Homeless Connect. Well, I've been at this for 7 years, and I've missed many of the announcements. So when we have issues in our city, are we reaching all the areas of communications? In this particular one, we have an organization of multiple organizations coming together, yet the ones that's to serve are not being reached. And I found it quite shocking because I stand there saying, I didn't know it either till it was on television. Another issue is there are complaints coming from inside our Turning Point. As Mr. Trapp, you're now sitting on the board. I don't know what the real problem is. I would like for someone just to ask homeless people, how's it going? Are you being served in your Turning Point location? We have just had an investment of $60,000 go into that, and I want to see success. And if I'm getting complaints this early, I need to know what's going wrong. I have had several complaints about officers. These complaints do not fall under, I don't see it as being a real high need, as paid officers need to work our crime. This issue I call hassling takes place at 63 and 70 with our homeless. If there's anything we can do to relocate these individuals, apparently there's three or four who specifically do something repeatedly on the officer's side. I don't want to see the officers wasting their time on that issue. If these people can stand out there and take their money as they do, so be it. But that's what we're trying to do from the city side, see if we can help them get off that plight in life and be successful. And we don't need police hassling those people. That's the bottom. Please, please, someone step up and say, that's enough. I've been doing this more than 7 years. I just don't talk about the previous years. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Shalkin. Anyone else from the public? Seeing none, any comments by council?
I have some.
Mr. Trapp.
I have a few, so I'm glad we're early.
All the time you need.
Thank you.
Well, be careful with that.
First issue is we have a policy where people can report that when trash is out on the wrong day, and then we'll do a special pickup and bill the property owner. So that works out well. But I have a realtor who lives in my ward who's really actively uses that service, and it's been getting to neighborhood services and not hasn't been followed up promptly on from Public Works. And she thought it's because of the, you know, it's the end of move, you know, a lot of leases change over in August, and so I know there's special pickups in some neighborhoods. And so she thought, you know, we can anticipate that the end of May and the end of July, there's going to be a lot of illegal trash being put out on different days. If we could schedule, I know we do some in like East Campus special pickups, but if we could look at putting on an extra crew those weeks to be able to respond more timely for those kinds of things. You know, if you're showing a house, you don't want a big pile of trash, you know, next door, you know, is her take on it. So I thought that was, if we had the resources to do that, that's something that I would like to see us address, especially with the bag system where the animals get in the trash. Second issue, I brought this up. I haven't heard anything about it. It's a sticky wicket, and that's the issue of drones. I've met with some more neighborhood. There's really one person who's a problematic drone user, and the police report to that is that they don't have the policy tools to be able to enforce that. So if I could get a report on where we're at with drone legislation, I might try to do some neighborhood mediation there. But there's, you know, it's using what appears, at least from the witnesses that have talked to me, in a harassing way. There's over people's yards filming teenage daughters sunbathing behind privacy fences. There's issues about just buzzing when they have a party over. I know that there's been a physical altercation. So that is getting out of hand out there. So I'm going to try to do a little bit of investigation and problem solving. But I was just curious as to what the state of the law is, what could we potentially look at, and it seems like it's heating out there. and then I wanted to address Mr. Elkins' comments about Project Homeless Connect. Often the media comes out fairly late because there are lots of folks who need assistance, and that's a great all-purpose event with an amazing amount of resources. And so they are somewhat deliberate in releasing it to the media fairly close to the event to try to because sometimes social service providers get advance notice and flyers about it ahead of time who have that direct reach to the community, because there's lots of folks who could use some extra assistance, and they want to make sure they get targeted to those folks who are truly homeless and really most in need. But Mr. Elkins, he should be included in that list. I know well in advance when that date is, and I'll try to make it a point to let you know. Sorry I didn't let you know this year. And I missed my first Project Homeless Connect since it was the beginning. I had another commitment. But it's a great event. And you also raised the issues about panhandling. I'm going to respectfully disagree with Mr. Elkin. I don't think that panhandling on the interstates, there is some level of traffic risk and danger. I find that the police in general act with a great deal of discretion. I think sometimes that they do issue trespass tickets for trespassing on the MoDOT right-of-way. You know, there's very clear signs about not having pedestrian folks there. I think the police are very judicious and wise in their use. I would not echo to give a freer hand. Sometimes, from my understanding, from talking about people who are in those panhandling situations, often they are kind of overlooked for about a week in case there's someone down on their luck who's trying to raise a stake to move on or get through some. But when people begin to treat it, you know, are there for a long time, they are engaged in trespass, and I'm not convinced that it's good. I see Katie Essing here. I want to call out the downtown CID for really funding proactive outreach and detoxification services. And the downtown area, people can be assurance that anybody panhandling has been offered case management and assistance and substance abuse treatment if that's necessary and appropriate, but they are given homelessness outreach services and services to connect with positive supports to make positive changes in evidence-based, client-directed ways, and the downtown's funding that for the downtown area. The city shows some great leadership with all the social service providers doing coordinated outreach, and that's only directed towards folks who are homeless. There is some overlap between homeless folks and people who fly signs, but there are some panhandlers are not homeless. And outside of the downtown area, there are only those services available for homelessness. But the downtown CID and that Change for Change, I forget the name of the campaign. It's been really great, and I'm glad to see it out there and raising some good community conversations. And I'm glad that in general we do a balanced approach of really with a lot more offerings of help than bringing down the power of the state on folks who are down on their luck. And like I said, I know a lot of folks who have panhandled it, and from talking to them, I think the police use a good amount of discretion in separating out those folks who might be a little bit down on a luck versus those folks who are, you know, there in a continuous fashion, and it has overall negative community impacts, and I'm not sure, convinced that it's good for the individual either.
Comments?
Yeah, I just have two brief comments. One is from, this is a perennial problem, and it deals with sidewalk repair, that kind of thing. And I guess what I'm asking for is to ask for a report. There were several of us that got this email from Paul Sturz. You may recall he was a former city councilman of some deserved repute because of a True False Film Festival. At any rate, he sent several of us an email, and I'll refer that to the city manager, give it to you. The essence of it is he was talking about the year 2012. He said a number of us central city residents were cheered by an innovative city program, and there's a link to it. The Bill Watkins, the former city manager, initiated to have Public Works team up with Job Point students to replace long stretches of crumbling and haphazard sidewalks. And he goes on to say that the Public Works Street Superintendent Sam Thomas did a terrific job and so on. And he also goes on to say that since that time, Sam's budget has been inadequate and the Job Point partnership wasn't able to be continued. Now, I don't know a lot of detail behind this, but if this was the successful program that he is describing, and if it has some potential for some of this infill with regard to, I would like to look at that, some of that information, and see what you have, what you can dig up to let us know what might be suitable, and maybe perhaps since this is the dawning of the budget season, we may be able to find a few dollars here and there to fund that. So that's one issue. The other issue is just the reminder, tomorrow is an election, and there are two propositions on the election. One has to do with the airport. You know where all of us stand, I think many of us stand on that issue here on the City Council, and the other has to do with another tax issue regarding auto sales and sales tax. And although the city manager has presented a good overview of where we are this year with sales tax, we are always hemorrhaging sales tax because of internet sales. Those sales taxes are disappearing. We're doing fine for this year, but the forecast for the future is not quite as sanguine. and I think we need to look hard at these voting decisions based on something that doesn't cause a whole lot of an onerous burden on anyone. And in fact, the airport in many cases is a way to generate some revenues from visitors and so on. So look at that carefully. Get out and vote. I would appreciate it if you would exercise your democratic rights, if you will. That's all I have for tonight.
Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just want to thank the city for all the yellow paint in the East Campus. They have gone and very carefully striped all the no parking spaces in the East Campus, of which there are tons. And so it's very yellow, and it looks very good, and I'm going to hope that it helps our parking problem. So I just wanted to thank the guys that put all the yellow on the streets.
I feel the whole town getting ready for college to resume. That's a great thing. Yeah. Seeing nothing further, sir, without an objection, I move we stand adjourned.
Second.
That would be a new record under.
Oh, it might be. I don't know.
Record under.
Oh, it might be. I don't know.